Today, I wanted to talk about Christian morals and ethics, and on Wednesday, I actually started my sermon prep earlier, and on Wednesday, I had most of it knocked out, and on Thursday, I'm sending my sermon notes over to Sarah, and she says, now, she looked, kind of knew what the questions were, she goes, now, you know we're going to have kids. And I went, oh, no. So I had to reroute. So today I changed the message just for the kids, and it's a kid version of Christian ethics and morals, but you'll have to come back next week because I'll have the adult version. Okay. But because I was a children's pastor and loved ministering to children for so many years, kids, I brought something just for you today. So we're going to start with a memory verse, and let's put it up on the screen. Amos 7:8 says, I will test my people with this plumb line. There's the word. I will no longer ignore their sins. That was a message that Amos delivered to God's people who used to play by the rules, and they decided to not play by God's rules anymore. And so that was a stern warning that God gave his people. I believe it would be a stern warning that he would give us today. And so today I'm going to talk about God's plumb line. But before we do, we're going to have some fun. So I see kids sitting in every section. So here's what I'm going to do. Sarah, won't you help me? Julie, won't you help me? Won't you just toss these out? Just toss them out randomly. But I want a kid to bring up a frisbee, come up on stage. And Rochelle, you're going to help them. So if you're 18 or under, if you caught the frisbee, give it to somebody that's 18 or younger. Yeah, you got to keep your head up. We live in dangerous times. We live in dangerous times. Keep your head up. Stay alert. And on the count of three, I'm going to say one, two, three. When I do that, I want you to run up on stage, up here on stage, and you're going to line up. Listen, you're going to line up with the words in order. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You're going to line up with the words in order, and I want Amos, the Bible address, I want Amos to be here, and then I will, we're going to start it from this end going to that end. So the last word, which is sins, is down there where Rochelle is, and Amos 7:8 is going to start right here. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hurry, 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 hurry. I haven't counted to three yet. I haven't counted to three yet. I haven't counted to three yet. Ready? Now, parents, you better pay attention because you're going to be next. And we're going to see if the kids can do this quicker than the parents. Somebody have a stopwatch. Somebody have a, can somebody time this? You got it right here on the front? Okay, you got it. Ready? One, two, three, go. Hold it up above your head. Hold the words up above your head. Hold them up above your head. Hold it up above your head. Above your head. Hold them up high above your head so everybody can see them. Is that it? Okay, stop. What was it? 46 seconds. Let's read it from left to right. Ready? Amos 7:8. I will test my people with this plumb line, I will no longer ignore their sins. You got it? Now, kids, here's what I want you to do. I want you to gently toss these frisbees out there, and I want adults to grab one. And adults, hold on to it, adults. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. We live in dangerous times. Keep your head up. Okay, kids, go have a seat. Let's give up for the kids. Sarah, you want to help the kids, the adults? I think the adults are going to need some help. Sarah's going to be your team leader. All right, are you ready? Adults, you have a Frisbee. I'm going to count to three. Ready? One, two, three. Go, adults, go. Go. You know we're timing this. You might hurry. If you don't want to lose, you might hurry. You might hurry. Come on, adults. Oh, they don't have the verse up. Oh, they're handicapped. They're handicapped. That's the handicap. Stop. What was it? 32 seconds. I am so proud of our adults. Kids, you better go home and practice this. All right, let's read it together. Amos 7, 8. I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore their sins. Amen. Good job, parents. You can put the Frisbees down right there and have a seat. Today I'm going to be talking about God's plumb line. And here are the two questions that I picked from all the questions that were submitted. The first question is, how do we know what's right and wrong? Who thinks that's a pretty good question? You know, we live in confusing times where God says one thing, but the world we live in is saying something else. And especially for young people, that's confusing. Who do I listen to? How do I know what's right and wrong? So that's one question I'm going to get to. And the second question is, what do we do when our faith tells us one thing, but the world we live in tells us something different? What do you do? Whether you're an adult at work, what do you do? Or a kid at school, what do you do? Or a kid that's got kids in the neighborhood that maybe play according to some different rules. Who agrees it can be confusing? It can even be frustrating. It can even make some people angry. And we see that all the time on social media. And so today we're going to look at God's Word, see what He has to say about these two questions. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Lord, I pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see what You say in Your written word, the Bible, about these two questions. And whether we understand it or not, whether we agree with it or not, it's Your word. And You were the creator of life, and You laid down some rules, some laws to live by. Whether we understand them or not, whether we agree with them or not, they're Your rules, they're Your laws for living. I pray that we would respect that we would honor that, and that we would look into Your word to see what You have to say about these two questions that are really big questions in the days we live in. And so, Holy Spirit, would You guide us? Would You open up our ears and our eyes to see and to hear and to understand and even to receive Your truth today? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so question number one, how do we know what's right and wrong? So, if you're 18 or younger, stand up. I have a test. I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to tell me, I want you to shout it real loud. Is this right or wrong? Here's the first word, lying.
Wrong.
Stealing.
Wrong.
Sharing.
Right.
Depends on what it is. Obeying.
Right.
Murder.
Wrong.
Worshiping God.
Right.
Cussing.
Wrong.
Cheating.
Wrong.
Now look, all of you got that right. How did you know the answer to those questions? All right, you can sit down. One of the ways we know what's right and wrong is when God designed us, He made us in His image, and He put somewhere inside of us, if you're a computer person, He put somewhere on our motherboard, when He programmed us and wired us up, He put somewhere in there an intuition or a conscience that would tell us this is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is evil. And because we were made in His image, who would agree that God knows what's right and wrong? He created life. He created the rules to live by. He knows. He knows every time what's right and wrong, and He put that inside of us. But he also then, in history, wrote it down for his people to remember them by. And we call it, in the Bible, it's called the Ten Commandments. And I put a list up of the Ten Commandments. And so here are 10 things that we know. We know what's right or wrong. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. So if you have other gods before him, that would that be right or wrong? It'd be wrong. You shall not make idols or worship idols. That would be wrong. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's wrong. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That would be the right thing to do if we remember the Sabbath. In fact, I'm going to talk about that next week. Honor your father and your mother. So when you don't honor your mom and dad, whether they're right or wrong, whether you agree with them or not, when you don't honor them, that would be the wrong thing to do. We know this because God wrote these things down for us to know. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, you shouldn't lie. And you shall not covet. You shall not desire or take things that don't belong to you. So those are just 10 examples of some laws that God gave his people. And if you read through the Old Testament, there were probably over 600 more detailed laws that are connected with these top 10. This would be like a table of contents. But under each one, there were very specific things of here's what you're supposed to do and here's what you're not supposed to do. And all through the Bible, there were penalties and punishments if you broke the rules, if you did something other than what God said to do. And so we know from God's written word what's right and what's wrong. And when you obeyed God's law, he would reward you, he would bless you. And when you disobeyed his law, he would punish you. Now, when we think about God punishing, is that because he's a mean God? Kids? Is God mean when he punishes you for doing wrong? No, what's he trying to do? He's trying to teach you to do what's right. It's because he really loves you that he disciplines you. The same thing with your parents. I know sometimes when your parents discipline you, you don't like it. You think they're mean. You think they hate you. But no, really the truth is they love you enough to discipline you. Last week I shared a verse that said, if you love your children, you will discipline them. And if you don't, that means you hate them. Who was here last week? And I had all the kids, you know, hug their moms and dads and say, thank you for whipping me. I mean, thank you for disciplining. Thank you for all the timeouts. Anybody ever had their mouth washed out with soap? Is that just my generation? Yeah, mostly old people in here. When I would say something bad with my mouth, my mom or dad would wash my mouth. They'd stick a bar of soap in my mouth. And they, your mouth needs to be washed out. It's just full of dirty words. And it wasn't my mouth that was full of dirty words. It was my mind that was full of dirty words. But because they came out of my mouth, that's where the soap went. And so I learned pretty quick, I shouldn't say those kind of words, especially around mom and dad, right? Years later, then God gave us the Bible. And we call it God's Word, and it's for God's people. And if you were young growing up, maybe you learned a little song to remind you of that. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the what? That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And that's still true today for those who are God's people. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is inspired by God and is useful to teach us, watch this, teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare us and to equip us to do every good work. Listen, God wants us to succeed in life. He wants us to make right decisions, not wrong decisions. He wants us to know the truth versus the lies of this world. And it's in his word that we do that. It's kind of like a rule book. You know, every game has a rule book. These are the rules you play by. And who knows that in any sport, if you break the rules, you get what? Penalized. Well, that came from the heart of God. God says, here are the rules I want you to live by, and when you don't live by them, there's going to be a penalty. Now, something else you need to know. Not only did God put them inside of us to know intuitively what's right or wrong. But the enemy also, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and opened up the door for sin to come into the world, we were also then born with a natural seed of disobedience or sin. Kids. So think about this. When you were one or two, and you first started talking and using words, one of the first words was no. And then it might be followed by some gestures like. Now, kids, let me ask you, listen, think. Did your parents ever sit you down and say, today I'm going to teach you how to say no and how to stick your tongue out? Did you have to be taught that? No, it just came up from, just naturally, it just came up. And so inside of us, we have this choice of, do we do what's right from what God put in us, or do we do what's wrong from what the enemy wants to do with us? It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. God gave us free will to choose. Are we going to do right, or are we going to do wrong? And so when you do what's right, God blesses you. When you do what's wrong, there's typically penalties involved. And so which one's better? Is right or wrong better? I think right's better. Which one do you think God likes? Kids, he likes when you do right. Parents, you like when your kids do right. But the enemy, he loves it when we do what? And so just know that he, in his little secret place, when you do wrong, when you tell a lie, when you disobey authority, when you disobey and dishonor your mom and dad, the enemy's over there going, yeah, watch this, they're going to get in trouble. He's a mean devil. And he wants to see bad things happen to you, and so it's your choice. Do I do what my heavenly Father tells me to do, even though I may not like it, even though I may not agree with it, even though I may not understand it? I just have to believe, because his word says it, that he knows best. And if I always do it his way, my life will be better. The Bible also has a word when we do wrong, when we disobey God. There's a word for it. There's a three-letter word. Kids, any guesses of what that word is? It starts with S. Three-letter word. What? Sin. Yeah, sin. When we disobey God, it's called what? Sin. And how does God feel about sin? Does he like it? Does he like when we sin? No. In fact, the Bible says he hates it. There's a few things God really hates. And one of the things he hates is sin. Now, he doesn't hate you when you sin. He just hates the sin you do. He loves you, but he hates that. He hates it when you lie. He hates it when you disobey authority. He hates it when you cheat. He hates it when you steal. He hates it when you're mean to your parents and mean to your... He hates it. He loves you. But he hates the sin because of what it does to you and does to others that he loves. Sin will break up a family, won't it? Sin will break up a good friendship, won't it? That's why he hates it. He loves you, but he hates that sin. And because he loves you so much, listen, he's always ready to forgive you. If you'll just say, God, I'm sorry, that was sin. Would you please forgive me? He always does. People always won't forgive you, but God says in his word, the truth, I will always forgive you no matter what you've done. This weekend, we were out at the lake, and our family was together, and we had some families over. And one of the teenagers had asked Chance. Chance is my son-in-law, and he and Jacqueline run our youth ministry, and these kids are in the youth ministry. And they asked him, they said, hey, Chance, got a question for you. If a person murdered 50 people in his life, but then on the day right before he died, he asked God to forgive him, would that person end up in heaven? Chance said, I don't know, ask Pastor Bob. Chicken. Who thinks they know the answer to that? Somebody over here? Do you know the answer to that? If you killed 50 people. Because listen, the Bible says that murderers do not get into heaven. What would be your answer? He murdered 50 people, but then they asked God to forgive them. You think God forgives them? Even if they did something so bad as killing so many people? Because God forgives. Now, it's hard for us to understand that, but that really helps understand how big God is and how big his love is for us. I don't recommend you trying that, but I'm just saying, no matter what you've done or how long you've done it, and some of you kids are young, maybe I'm talking to some adults, you've been living a life that you know is contrary to God, and you've been living that way for a long, long time. God says it's never too late to turn around and ask forgiveness, and I will wipe the slate clean. You may remember it, but I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to hold it against you. And so that's the loving part of God and how he feels about sin. In fact, in the verse we read a while ago, Amos 7, 8, he uses that word plumb line. And I brought a plumb line. Some people didn't know what a plumb line was. One of my granddaughters goes, "What's a plumb line?" And so I brought a plumb line. Can y'all see that? It's a string with a weight on the end, and at the tip of the end of the weight is a pointed, it's a steel or metal weight with a point at the end. And because of gravity and because of the weight, when that stops, that line is perfectly perpendicular to the ground. And so back when they would build things to see if the wall was going to be straight, they would put a plumb line up against the wall to see. And if the wall was, you know, if the wall was crooked a little bit, it would tell. The plumb line would tell if it was perfectly straight or if it wasn't. You see that? So a plumb line was very useful to people that built things back in the old days. Now today we use something called a level. Who knows what a level is? It's a little liquid with a bubble in it, and now the bubble will tell you if you're lined up straight or not. Well, in a similar way, God says that my word is a plumb line. And you know when you're straight or right with God if it lines up with what's in his word. Now, who knows that we can disobey and sin and we get crooked. We lean to the right or we lean to the left. We're not perfectly straight with God. Raise your hand if you've ever been out of plumb with God. Yeah, see, look, every hand's raised because we're sinners. And we've done wrong things. But what's the goal? The goal is to what? Be straight and lined up with God and his truth. And the only way we know what his truth is, what's right and wrong, is what is in his word. Listen, without a plumb line, without the Bible, we don't know really what's right or wrong. And if we start making our own rules, some goofy person might say that killing 50 people's okay. We don't need to ask forgiveness. Some people say right now today in the world we live in, it's okay to tell a lie if it benefits me. It's wrong for you to lie, but it's okay for me to lie if it helps me. Some people might think it's okay to cheat on a test if it means whether I'm going to get into college or not. You see how we move the plumb line. And when you start moving the plumb line, you start getting into trouble in life. And God says what? I will not ignore your sins. I have a plumb line. I have a plumb line that tells you what's right and wrong. And I see everything. And I'm okay when you see that you're out of plumb and you ask forgiveness. But if you keep living out of plumb with me and you think it's okay and you're going to get away with it, just remember, I'm not going to ignore it forever. And there'll be one day in the Bible that I would call test day. You know, in school, you always have a test. You always have finals that are coming up. One day there will be a day that where you're tested to see if you lived by God's plumb line or not. And if you put your faith in Jesus, no matter what you've done, you'll always pass and you'll be in heaven. But if not, then God says, I'm not going to ignore your sins. If you didn't get them covered by Jesus, then you're going to have to account for your sins. And we know what the Bible says about sin. The penalty for sin is what? It's death. It's not heaven. It's eternal death. And so it's important that we understand in the Bible. I want to read the whole verse to you. Amos 7, verse 7 says, then he showed me another vision. This is Amos talking. Amos was a prophet, just like Isaiah. He says, then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, yes, Amos, I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins. And so the question was, how do I know what's right or wrong? Well, if you're a God person, if you're a Christian, if you believe that God's word is the plumb line, is God's plumb line, then this is how we know what's right and wrong, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not. You know, I've read things in the Bible that just don't seem fair, but guess what? It's God's rule book. Sometimes in sports, it's not fair for you to run 3 yards, big old body runs 3 yards and scores 7 points, and some little guy has to kick a ball 30 yards and get it through an opening this big for 3 points. That's not fair. But guess what? That's the rule of the game. If you're playing football, those are the rules. And we just learn to live by the rules. Here's the second question. What do we do when our faith in God's word tells us one thing and the world we live in tells us something different? Who knows if that's happening? It's always really happened. It happened when I was a kid. But now we have kids and grandkids and we see it happening to them. I guess when we're in it, we don't see it as much as when we see other people in it. It's confusing today. It's confusing for kids to show up at school and they're celebrating things that God says is sinful. That's confusing. What do we do? A while ago I said if you play a game, there's rules of the game. And who knows that if you ever have game night, anybody have game night, your families have game night, okay? And it's fun when you play by the rules, whether you win or lose, if you play. But who knows, there's always somebody that doesn't want to play by the rules. Or there's always somebody that wants to change the rules. And that can be very frustrating, can't it? Right? I remember in our game nights, sometimes we'd be very competitive and the rules would get changed because somebody wanted to win. They wanted to win by their own rules. We live in a world that wants to win by their own rules now, and they're ignoring God's rules. And so therein lies the conflict. And I think it's especially hard for a young kid because kids are taught to obey the authorities in their life. So what do you do, or adults at work, what do you do when the authorities in your life are saying one thing, but you know God's word says something different? There's a story in the Bible about a people group. It was a land in which they lived called Judah. Now, Judah was a man's name, and he was put over a tribe of people, many people, godly people. It was called the tribe of Judah. But then they settled in a particular area, geographic area, and that became the territory of the kingdom of Judah. You probably heard that in the Bible. The people living in God's kingdom called Judah were godly people, but they began to live by a different set of rules. They started ignoring the plumb line. And God got angry, and so he sent one of his messengers, a prophet named Isaiah, to say, you need to go tell my people that what they're doing is wrong, and this is how I feel about it. And so Isaiah delivers this message in Isaiah chapter 5. He says, for they have rejected the law of the Lord. So here's the plumb line, but they've rejected it. We're not living that way. We're going to live the way we want to live. They've rejected the law of the Lord of heaven's armies. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is why, listen, that is why the Lord's anger burns against his people and why he has raised his fist to crush them. That's a word picture of how angry it makes God when we choose to live by a different set of rules. says they turned so far from God, they started calling good evil and evil good. Wow. That's like opposite day. Right? Right? Mom says, do it now, and you say, I'm going to do it later. Or a while ago, is lying right? And y'all said, no, it's wrong. But what if today they're teaching you, no, it's right, it's okay. If you feel it's right, then it's right. And all of a sudden, but see, they were doing it way back then. This is nothing new for the days we're living in. We're just seeing it now because we're living in it. And it can be confusing. How do I know what's right? Mom and Dad, what do I know is right? At school, at work, they're saying this is right, but I know God's word says it's wrong. What do I do? That's happening in our country. Isaiah goes on, what sorrow for those. Listen, here's what sorrow means. It's not going to go well for these people unless they change. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. Watch. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. You noticing what's happening here? When you get away from God's word, anything could be right. Anything could be wrong. And what you call right, I might call wrong. And what I call wrong, you might call right. It's confusing. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. You know what that means? They think they're smarter than God. They think they know better than God. I don't need God's rules. I'm going to make my own. It makes God angry, and that's happening in our world today. And without a plumb line, who's to say what's right or wrong? Without a plumb line, who's to say what the right values are? And here's what the result is. We're seeing it every day now. Our country's divided. We got a group of people that wants to live according to God's rules, and we have another group that wants to live according to the world's rules. And who knows, the world's rules are not the same as God's rules. And with God's rules, there's kind of one version. With the world's rules, it could be 50 different ways. There could be 50 different answers to what's right or what's wrong. It just depends on who you're with and what environment you're in as to what the rules are. Who knows, that's confusing. It's frustrating. It can make people angry. Which is why Paul warned Timothy. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. Does God say that? No. God says love others, right? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. They're making fun of God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. What does God say? He wants us to be loving and forgiving. But in the last days, people are going to be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and they will hate what is good. Abortion. Kids, are you old enough to know what abortion is? Abortion is taking the life of a baby who hadn't even had a chance to take their first breath. And the world says it's okay. If mama wants to be selfish and not have that baby where life will be better for her, see, here's what abortion is. I want to do what's best for me, not what God says. Now, I've been in relationships where the abortion was chosen. Pastor Tammy, I think she's shared her story before where she's had an abortion. Listen, so we know we've been on that side. We've done it, but it didn't make it right. It was wrong, even though we've done it, even though I was part to play in a decision before I met Miss Tammy, and then Miss Tammy made a decision before she met me. It's wrong. And so I'm here to tell you, it's wrong. We did the wrong thing. But we've asked God to forgive us. And he has. And so if anybody here is struggling with that issue in your life, listen. It's wrong. But God forgives. It's wrong. But God forgives. We can't move the plumb line. God says it's wrong. We can't move the plumb line. So how do we deal with the tension when we're out of plumb? We ask forgiveness. And we repent. And we quit doing what was wrong. We quit doing it. We change. But if you move the plumb line, then you have no sense of what's right or wrong. And then we stay confused. They will be unloyal. See, they will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. And now here's what Paul tells Timothy. Stay away from people like that. Easier said than done, Paul. I got to go to work. I got to go to school. I have family members. We're not all in agreement. I have some family members that love God. I have some family members that don't love God. And when we all get together, it's a mess. And everybody said, so what do you do? Three words. You might take a picture when they're all three up there. This is my suggestion. Paul said, stay away from them. Is that an amber alert? That means pay attention. The first thing we do is pray. Prayer is the number one weapon against the enemy and evil. And you can always pray. And if you want to pray out loud, pray out loud. If you want to pray under your breath, pray under your breath. But you can always pray and go to God. No one can stop you from praying. And if anyone puts you down for your faith, I heard this week that a lady in our church, her son goes to school, and her son has come home saying, they said I couldn't talk about God at school. That's wrong. That's wrong. You can talk about God. Listen, kids, you can talk about God at school. Listen, you can talk about God at school. And so when somebody says that to you, just tell them, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God changes your mind. And I'm going to pray that God gives me the courage and the boldness to not quit talking about God. And I'm going to forgive you so I don't stay mad at you. So prayer, number one. Number two, stand firm. Kids, listen to me. The enemy wants you to quit talking about God. Don't quit talking about God. Don't quit talking about God. When you talk about him, be polite. Be loving. Put a smile on your face. But don't you back down because some bully told you you can't talk about God. You can talk about God. And when you talk about God, boy, it makes God smile so big and it just makes the enemy angry. So listen, I give you permission. Let's make the devil mad. Let's make the devil mad and let's put a smile on God's face and let's keep talking about God. And let's keep praying. Let's stand firm. Know that God is on your side. And he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never turn his back on you. You might have friends that turn away from you because they don't like what you're talking about, but those aren't real friends. That's why we suggest that you get friends that love God so you can be friends with people that play from the same rule book that you play from. You go to school, some of your friends aren't godly, and they're going to question your faith, and they're going to maybe laugh at you or roll their eyes. Sometimes you're going to feel outnumbered. Well, listen. God's army was always outnumbered and they always won when God allowed it. Now, there were some times where God punished them and they always lost. That's why you want to make sure you're on God's side. No matter how big of an army you got, if you're not on his side, you're going to lose. No matter how small your army is, when you're on his side, he makes sure you always win. That's why I choose to be on God's side. Amen. Young kids, 18 or under, you want to be on God's side? It's just the right thing to do. Don't let somebody talk you out of that. And then number three, speak up or speak out. This, what, 2 weeks ago we had camp testimony night, and I think I heard Pastor Jacqueline say something about one of the rules at camp was, if you see something, say something. And that stuck in me. I like that. If you see something or hear something, say something. Kids, listen, if you're at school, adults, you're at work, and they start saying things that are against God, say something about it. Say something about it. And you can say something like this. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to pray that God changes your mind on that because what you just said does not make him happy. See, they're not used to Christians being bold. You know what they're used to? Okay, I won't say anything. Enemy's going, good, I got them controlled. I got them on a short leash. Don't do that. Pray, stand firm, and say something. But be nice when you say it. Don't stick your tongue out and do all that stuff. Some Christians do that. That's not right. Don't be hateful. Be loving, but say something. And if you have to, come home and talk to your parents about it. Listen, our kids, when we were growing them up, they come home from time to time and say, Mama, this is what they're saying at school, or you know, there's something on the wall. And of course, you know, Miss Tammy, she'd be right up there at the school the next day. You see her? You see Miss Tammy going up there? Miss Tammy said, this isn't right. If my kids can't talk about Jesus, you can't put a picture of the devil on your walls. Take that down. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to make sure it's down. She spoke up, you know, and I think that makes God happy when we speak up for him, right? Or tell one of your church leaders, or come and tell me. You come and tell me, I'll show up at your school. Nobody's going to tell one of my G church kids they can't talk about God. Are you kidding me?
Amen.
PB's got your back, kids. But listen. Parents, you're their parents. You should have their back before I do. Amen. Parents, come on. Parents, you got a role model for your kids. We're going to pray. We're going to stand up. And we're going to speak up in love. But it's time to, let's not keep our mouths shut. Or they're going to run all over us. They already have. I mean, how can 5% of our population be calling all the shots in our country? You know why? Because we didn't pray and we didn't stand up and we didn't speak out. And with 5%, maybe 10% at the most, we've been overruled. And we sit in our homes complaining about it. What good does that do? Nothing. We need to pray. We need to stand up. We need to speak out. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for your message today. I pray that it would sink down into our hearts where we wouldn't just be hearers of good news, but we would be doers of what we hear. I pray that every parent in this room that still has kids in school would get involved in their school. They would find out what their kids are learning. They would find out what's in their books. They would go visit their school to see what's being displayed on the walls in my children's school that isn't saying the same thing that what they see at church. They see things that don't agree with God's word, and it sends mixed signals. I want to go and take an inventory of that, and then I want to talk to the decision makers that are behind it. I'm going to get involved in my kids' school. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand firm. And I'm going to speak out. I love what Timothy, I didn't have the verse to put up, but as I was praying this morning, there was something else that Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. That's a message for all of us today. We need to guard God's word. That's what he's entrusted to us. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Listen, kids, it's going to be a fight, but it's going to be a good fight. And it's going to be a fight that God says, you can fight this fight. And the way we fight it is we pray, we stand up, and we speak out in love according to God's truth. Father, thank you for this message today. I pray that it would penetrate every heart, that these young kids, when they go back into school and they know that they're in an environment that's different than yours, they'll at least know what the truth is. They'll know what the plumb line is. They'll know that they can talk about God, but they also know that they'll need to pray. They'll need to stand firm in their faith, and they'll need to speak up in love. They're not going to let people silence them. They're not going to let people run over them. They're going to stand for you. And I just pray right now, I pray for boldness, I pray for courage to fill the hearts of every mom and dad and every student in this church today so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand and sing one more song and give God the glory he deserves.